It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up on Central Time, people in developing countries are using low-tech strategies to deal with climate change. We learn about that and other science news with Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine. First, late last Friday, a Dane County's circuit court judge struck down Wisconsin's right-to-work law. The law, which stops unions from requiring private sector employees to pay union dues regardless of whether or not they're members, was signed in March 2015 and made Wisconsin the 25th right-to-work state. Critics of this kind of legislation say the laws weaken unions by allowing some workers to be, in effect, free riders. It extends unions' benefits like collective bargaining to all employees, including those that don't pay union dues. The new ruling may be short-lived, and appeal is expected. Many observers say the state Supreme Court would ultimately overturn Friday's decision and restore the right-to-work law. Here to tell us more is Paul Secunda. He's a professor of law and director of the Labor and Employment Law Program at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me back.
On what grounds did this circuit court judge say that the right-to-work law was unconstitutional?
Based on the ground that requiring a union to provide non-paying non-members with the same representational services provided due-paying members is an unconstitutional taking. To maybe make it a little bit more concrete, the law requires one private party, the union, to give their property, union services, to another private party, here the non-paying non-member employees, and that compulsion has to be assessed under the takings clause. And under that framework, we have a property taking, which has no public purpose and has no compensation. And so that's a violation of the state constitution's takings clause.
And the argument from supporters of right-to-work laws seemed to be, well, on the other hand, if you make that non-member of the union pay dues, it may be forcing them to pay money for political action, political expression by that union that they don't agree with, saying that raises constitutional issues of its own. Is there something to the other side of that argument?
There is nothing to the other side of that argument. That issue was decided in the 1980s. We make a distinction in labor law between chargeable and non-chargeable dues. Non-chargeable dues are exactly the ones that you were just referring to, political and ideological dues, and non-members do not have to pay for them. They can file forms to get any kind of that money back and not to support the union's agenda. Chargeable dues are for grievance processing and collective bargaining. By its very nature, it's non-political. It provides a benefit to all people who are under the union's representation. That's what we're talking about here.
Have we seen similar arguments that we saw on Friday from this judge, similar rulings that a right-to-work law constitutes a taking, a seizure?
We have. In Indiana and also in the federal Seventh Circuit, which includes Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, we saw some action in this area in 2013 and 2014. Initially, the side saying this was an unconstitutional taking were successful at the initial level, although eventually both the Indiana Supreme Court and the Seventh Circuit said that this was not unconstitutional. What I found most interesting was that Judge Wood, who's the chief judge of the Seventh Circuit, said that she thought it was an unconstitutional taking, again saying that this seems to be a situation where the state law is compelling one private party to give their property to another private party and doing so without a public purpose or without compensation. I believe that's what Judge Faust, the trial judge here in Dane County Circuit Court, cited to in his opinion, and that seems to be the main disagreement between the two sides.
Is there anything unique about Wisconsin's version of the right-to-work law that might make it more or less susceptible to legal challenge?
Actually, it's the exact same law that is in 26 different states now. There are 26 right-to-work states, and they have uniformity in saying that non-member do not have to pay any types of fees to the unions, even though the unions are bound by law to represent them. The union has a duty of fair representation towards non-paying and paying members, and so there really isn't anything unique in the sense that you have a takings clause, which is similar under the federal constitution, under our state constitution, and you have these right-to-work laws, which do seem to permit such an unconstitutional taking. I guess this is just a debate that continues forward, first occurring in Indiana a few years ago, now moving to Wisconsin.
Talking to Paul Secunda, a professor of law, labor expert at Marquette University, looking at last Friday afternoon's ruling overturning Wisconsin's right to work law, just over a year really since it was signed into law. Paul, do you know if we've seen much impact of this law on union membership? And we're talking private sector unions here, not the public employee unions. Have we seen much change in the year since this law came into effect?
It's too soon to say. The law just went into effect in March 2015, and based upon what has occurred in other states, it usually takes 3 or 4 years for us to say with any definitive way that this has had an impact on the unions or the number of employers who are coming now to the state of Wisconsin. I will tell you that in other states, such as Michigan, for instance, there has been a dramatic impact as far as right to work on the number of unions and the number of members of unions. So it's still to be seen, but generally speaking, the impact of right to work laws is to lessen the presence of unions and make it easier for employers to impose the terms and conditions that they choose in their workplaces.
So we saw this ruling in this Dane County Circuit Court on Friday. What do you see happening next? An appeal seems almost certain.
I think it's going to follow exactly what happened with Act 10 litigation. If you recall, Act 10 had similar provisions with regard to public sector unions in Wisconsin. And what happened there in September of 2012 was that initially the then Attorney General Van Hollen filed a motion to stay with the Circuit Court in Dane County. The Circuit Court in Dane County denied that motion, but then it was appealed to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, which upheld the motion to stay, citing the fact that it would cause confusion across the state until that time that the Wisconsin Supreme Court could rule on it. Eventually, the Wisconsin Supreme Court did rule on it, and in the spring of 2014, in the Madison Teachers case, they found that Act 10 was constitutional in all regards. I suspect something similar here. I believe that initially there will be a motion to stay granted so that the status quo will be maintained as this decision is challenged, and in the next 12 to 18 months, I would suspect that this will eventually be decided by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. As everyone knows, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, as of last week with the elections, has now 5 conservatives and 2 progressives. So chances are that this decision by the Dane County Circuit Court judge is going to be overturned.
Does this actually change much on the ground between Friday's ruling and any kind of possible stay from a higher court while it waits for the Supreme Court? Can unions get something done while they're waiting here?
They might try to. In fact, with this decision still in force, there is an argument that the right to work law is no longer constitutional and they can start collecting fees from non-members. The problem is, by the time they get that entire process up and running, that motion to stay might be already in effect. So you might see a number of unions just wait and see what happens in the coming weeks rather than rushing to collect additional fees right now.
The tide around the nation seems to be a gradual increase of the number of right-to-work states, and the courts, by and large, seem to be going along with that. But do you see, you mentioned that Indiana case, now this ruling from a circuit court judge in Dane County, do you see maybe those rulings starting to snowball and have a precedent effect, even if they're overturned by high courts?
I think it's important for 2 reasons. First of all, I think it, again, highlights the fact that there is a real free rider problem with these laws, that unions are required by law to provide these services to all their employees. And so it's unfair for people to take advantage of the union services and not have to pay for them. So it highlights that again. I think it also means that even if there's not eventual success here in Wisconsin as far as overturning the right to work law, that there's going to be other states. Most prominently, the most recent right to work state this year in February was West Virginia. If West Virginia follows the same tactic and does so federally, there is a chance that it makes its way to the Fourth Circuit, which is the federal circuit that covers West Virginia. And if the West Virginia Federal Appellate Court, the Fourth Circuit, should follow Judge Wood's decision in the Seventh Circuit, which was the dissenting decision, and find this is an unconstitutional taking, well, then all of a sudden, we have a circuit split. And of course, if there's a circuit split, then it becomes ripe for Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court review. And of course, we have no idea what the United States Supreme Court's going to look like in 2017. All things are possible at this point. So this could be the beginning of something very important, perhaps not in Wisconsin, but perhaps nationally. This could be the beginning of a movement of finding right-to-work laws unconstitutional under the Takings Clause, even though such right-to-work laws have been permitted federally since 1947.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
That's Paul Secunda. He's a professor of law and director of the Labor and Employment Law Program at Marquette University. He talked to us about the future of the right-to-work law in Wisconsin after it was struck down in a circuit court on Friday.